there are times when people will get a result and crush others. There are times when teams, you know, you'll have somebody on a team where somebody's like, well, yeah, they get the numbers, so we kind of keep them, but they're just absolute jerks to others, right?
The Ripple Leader Podcast, a resource for leaders who want to cultivate clear and confident leadership skills that ripple out to leaders around them and throughout the organizations they lead. Each episode, we gain actionable insight from Chris Hutchinson, veteran organizational advisor, CEO of the Trebuchet Group, and author of Ripple, Field Manual for Leadership That Works. We both love this author, Simon Sinek. I mean, author, speaker, you know, we traded back and forth different videos from him. Mm-hmm. He gave me new language for my recent awareness around ADD, that it's not, you know, it's not helpful to call it attention deficit disorder, but it's like an ability, a superpower of hyperfocus with an executive function challenge. Mm-hmm. I think that was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Really, why I brought up Simon Sinek is because I was watching a video of him where he was describing an early role that he had in an organization where he was given a task and he executed the task and got poor marks. Essentially, well, that's not how we do it here. And he was like, wait a second. Like, this was the task. Are you not pleased with the results? And the leader said, no, like the results are fine. And he's like, well, I don't understand what the problem is. And the leader's like, well, that's not how we do it here. Again, like, Simon is just struggling because Simon is what we call an outcome-based thinker. And he's like, there's greater value in the outcome than how I got there. Mm-hmm. And yet Simon encountered it. Many of us encounter this, especially if you're coming into an organization, mm-hmm. and you're trying to step in and contribute, that you'll encounter this dynamic and even this phrase, well, that's not how we do it here. Mm-hmm. So like, how do we navigate this? Because it can diminish someone's ability as a member of a team to thrive in their sweet spot, to thrive at work, because right. they're just like, well, what the hell? Like, why do I try? It doesn't matter if I bring what I can, or we can get to the result that you want quicker and less expensive, but mm-hmm. because I didn't do it the way that you wanted to do it, well, then why should I care? And it's just like, right. ugh, you know?
Yeah, totally. Well, it's a really hard challenge. And I think part of that challenge is that there are times when people will get a result and crush others. There are times when teams, you know, you'll have somebody on a team where somebody's like, well, yeah, they get the numbers, so we kind of keep them, but they're just absolute jerks to others, right? And so there are people, so there's a couple of problems here. One of the challenges is, how are you defining results? If the result is a number, you know, I can do that by sacrificing all future work with this client by promising them something we cannot deliver, and then whipping everybody till they do it, and they say, great, see, I got my bonus, you know? And they're like, well, that's not the way we do things around here. Usually is code for there's some values that have been violated. Now, there are values that can be, we don't want to change, we want to stay the same. There's a payoff of, I don't want to ask so-and-so to change what they've been doing for 10 years, therefore that's uncomfortable, and that, you know, you've made a problem for me. So that's on, there's a positive reason for saying, yeah. hey, that's not the way we do things around here, and there are negative reasons for that. And I think the key is, when you face something like that, assuming you're coming to an organization or something, or perhaps you're stepping in as a leader to an organization that's functioning at something, is sort of saying, okay, so what are the outcomes that we're getting? And that's not objectives. I think I've seen some recent, you know, they can be synonymous, but objectives tend to have like a number behind them, you know, 97.6% throughput or whatever like that. Well, you can make that by, again, abusing, nitrous oxide in your system, what makes your engine run really fast for a while, and then it blows up.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, what are we really doing here? And not just a singular objective, but the outcome is usually multiple pieces, and sometimes their intention. We need to serve all our clients really exceptionally well, and we want people to have a fully fulfilled life where they get to spend time and energy with their family. There's tension there. We want to pay everybody exactly what they're worth and a little more, and we want our clients to feel they're getting every penny's worth of what we're doing. You know, so there is always, I think, when effective outcomes, there's tension. And so some of the things we do with our picturing the future process, or in this one, it's, you know, using people's crayons in the picture or trying to decide, what am I trying to achieve, avoid, and preserve here? Not just a singular thing. So let's say you're asked that. Somebody says, hey, or you know, I got the results. Yeah, that's not the way that we do things around here. I think the magic pill here is curiosity. Mm. Oh, really? So what are the things we do around here? What do we get out of those things? And how are those in contrast or in complement to this number or whatever the outcome was that you were supposed to go get, this goal you were supposed to achieve? And so finding out what that is, and some are going to be legit and some are going to be sort of like, well, we don't want to do hard work of change.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I kind of blew up that question a little bit because a lot of times.
What I think is so great about that is because, I mean, you can imagine the junior leader who may actually be doing something where they are unwittingly violating the values.
Sure.
And so that's why they're getting that feedback.
Yeah.
You know, it could also be that they're running up against, I mean, and this is likely their takeaway if they meet the resistance.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is, well, you just don't value me.
You're
only want to do this because you value you, and then it becomes this kind of us versus them kind of dynamic. But if you could just look at it and go, okay, that tension is a spot for us to be able to go, okay, let's pause. And let's, you know, kind of look and see what's...
One of those powerful questions we can ask, I think, ask ourselves and ask clients and each other is like, what does the organization need? And very frequently, those things are intention. We need great results and we need people to be happy in their work. You know, well, actually, when we embark on something as a change, you will always dip in performance. It's going to be harder, even if it's the best thing in the world. I use my phone as an example. They'll move a button or something and probably user testing says it's in best place, but I'm used to having it over here. So now it's a pain in the butt and I got to go. And after I get over the shock of the change, it's probably like, oh, that saves me a millisecond because it's closer to my thumb. But I don't know that for a while. And for a while, I'm going to be like, this is the wrong way to go. What are these people doing? They don't trust me. They don't honor me. If it was something just because somebody wanted to change, well, then, you know, that's a different thing.
Right.
But we're always going to go down in performance, even if we're looking for higher performance on the other side.
What principles from Ripple can help us navigate this tension?
Well, I think it's we'd say work backward from the outcome. And the idea is systemically, when you're looking at an organization, it's like, well, where are we trying to get to? And having a very clear idea of that, not in a singular quality. That's why it's sometimes having like a one best number is actually dangerous. Well, like Enron, stock value. Let's put stock value, and we can do all kinds of things to make that stock value go up. Meanwhile, causing economic destruction and, you know, financial a wake of people with their lives destroyed, right?
Yeah.
Horrible stuff. But they got the number, right? So I think it's like, what are we trying to do? And it's in multiple aspects. What are we trying to do for our clients? What are we trying to do for the organization itself? What are we trying to do for team members? What are we trying to do for the, you know, economic possibilities here, reinvestment, whatever we're trying to do? Just being really clear about that and then say, okay, what are the paths we have to get there? And what are the things that can optimize, not maximize, but optimize as many of those as possible? Probably not going to get the best of any of those, but collectively we're going to get an amazing result if we think about it ahead of time.
And that makes me think that if those junior leaders or new team members are included in those outcome conversations, you're raising their awareness, you know, sight into the things that matter, which can help color, you know, the way they're showing up, or even can even say, and as a reminder to those who have been established in the team, like, hey, remember, this was the thing that we said was really important.
Yeah. It, depending on the outcome you want, you can then vary the amount of input that you have. And we have this, it looks like a bell curve, but it's called a Goldilocks curve. And it basically, if you eat, for instance, if your bar is health, the outcome you want, and down the bottom is either exercise or food, no exercise, no food, your health is going to be very low. If all you're doing is exercise or all you're doing is eating, your health will be very low. Somewhere in the middle, there's an optimum where you get the balance or the mix or whatever that's going to be right. You know, the right amount of exercise, the right amount of food. And it may not be at the tippy top, but the challenge is that what we can do is say, the more we do, the better it'll be. The higher the goal, the better it's going to be. But that's not actually what's always going to help. So understanding that ahead of time, like you're saying, right? Like, what do we need with this? What could get in our way? Is a really good question to ask as well, because that might be something that is a counterbalancing or a tension that needs to be brought into the awareness. It may not be, well, yeah, of course, we're just going to do it differently, but where's that place where we get the most of both of these?
Okay, I want to end this conversation by doing two experiments.
Okay.
Okay. So we're going to do a little role play.
Oh, wow.
So I'm ready. Chris, I got this guy on my team who just won't do it the way that we do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coaching me.
Okay.
Right. Like he gets the number that we're looking for, but he just won't conform to the way that the process that we have in place.
Got
what
it.
What do I do?
So what is happening because of his nonconformance? It could be like somebody's at risk or something like, you know, I'm just trying to think of, there's something that you're going like, wait, that's the wrong way.
Yeah. What's, like it's just not something he's just not doing it the way that we do it. And
what's the bad thing that's happening because of that?
Well, I don't really understand how he does it.
Oh.
I don't understand what, like, I don't know if there's like some shortcut there. I don't understand if there's, you know, something that he's stepping around to get there.
Yeah.
You know, clearly the quote unquote objective or result that we're looking for.
Right.
But it's.
So you don't have any signals from anything that says like customers are starting to get pissed off or you're worried he's sacrificing something in the ways. So, well, what first thing I'm wondering, you know, this is a yes, no question. Have you asked him what his process is or has he walked you through it?
I have not. So no.
That might be one way to do it. You know, say, hey, that's really an amazing result you're getting. It seems the time's shorter or whatever. I'm very curious about what are the steps you do because that might be something we want to replicate with other folks. And I'll also be looking for if there's anything, you know, that if it is shortcutting something, maybe we'll talk about that to see if that's still okay to do.
Okay. Awesome. So that's the first one.
Okay. So just be curious and find out what it is. And
that's
explore that one.
That's the takeaway I had.
I don't know that that's the...
Be curious. Very helpful.
Explore.
Not react because it was... Okay.
There's probably something that's going wrong though.
So Chris, like I'm new in this organization and they just are just stuck in like these old processes. Mm-hmm. Like there's some tech. We could go on Zapier. We could add some APIs and stuff.
Yep.
We can shortcut all this stuff. We don't have to do it, you know, the way that they're doing it.
Right.
But yet they're just like, nope, you've got to do it this way. You got to log this thing. You've got to, mm-hmm. you know, be here.
Right.
Like it's driving me nuts.
Okay. So I like the idea of payoff, that there's always a payoff in some way. So being curious, I know it feels counterintuitive. I'm going to do the thing where I'm going to actually get closer. So I'd say, hey, I'm curious, when we look at this thing, you know, what's the benefit of doing this? Not this is stupid, you know, in your mind, right? Like actually being curious about what's the benefit of doing this? And maybe there is one. And if the person says, well, we don't really have a benefit. Interesting. Well, I know a way we could do that without taking as much time or whatever. And hopefully they're then curious because, you know, you get what you project. So if you say, hey, I'm going to be curious, they might be curious back. Really? You know, a way that we could do this. But if there's some payoff like this, you know, it follows a process that keeps us out of this problem. Or, you know, when we put this language in here, it ensures that we're not essentially responsible for the results because we're working with our client. We don't have this language in here. We could be sued. Now, maybe that's a slight risk or something, but you're like, huh, I didn't think about that. Then, okay, now we're working together towards an outcome rather than I know you don't, both ways.
That's awesome. You know, the thread between both of them was curiosity.
Absolutely. Be right? curious. Like, what's your intent? What are you hoping is going to happen, which is the outcome?
Yeah.
And then let's see if we align in the outcome. Then we can figure out different methodologies. Otherwise, we're just beating each other up. My methodology is better than yours. Oh, no, it isn't. Mine's better. Boom, boom, boom. You know, whether we do that out loud or not.
Yeah, and this is actually pulling another principle from Ripple, just the idea of assuming positive intent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that if we've done this process before, someone gave some intention to it.
Yeah.
They thought through some inputs.
It probably was something that helped at a time. It may be no longer applicable. Maybe we discover that together versus like, will you please catch up?
To help you help your team members figure out where they want to go, and how their individual strengths can be utilized to do great things for the team and themselves, grab a copy of Chris's book, Ripple, a field manual for leadership that works. You can find the links to get Ripple as well as a free resource to help you equip those you lead in the show notes of this episode on RippleLeader.com.
you found this content helpful, it would mean so much to us if you'd be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. Follow the podcast on the platform of your choice, leave a review, and then share a favorite episode with a colleague or a friend. These three things help us create the ripples that we desire to see as well. Ripple Leader Podcast is a production of the Trebuchet Group. The Trebuchet Group wants a world where everyone is thriving individually and collectively at work. You can find more about the Trebuchet Group at trebuchetgroup.com. I'm co-host Josh Schuler. Thanks for listening.